Skull and Everett present This Week in Horror.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Everett.
And I'm Sickle, and we're Sickle and Everett. We're the Inhaled Reviewers.
Do you ever do finger guns after doing the intro? Because, like, I do it, like, 99% of the time.
Just, like, every time you're just like...
Yeah, I'm like, I'm Everett, and I'm, like, finger gunning the, like, recording software.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and, you know, you can really tell... Because, you know, I think it was, like, episode 34, you didn't do it, and I could tell.
You didn't do it. Wow, where's the energy?
Yeah, he's just not into it this time. Not this episode.
All right, well, we missed a week, and now we have a lot to catch up on, so let's hit it hard and hit it fat. No, I don't know if we're going to do fast, but there's a lot to talk about. Okay, that's quite enough. This isn't a sexual podcast. This is a horror podcast. So the first and foremost, we're going to go through some news. We don't really cover non-news anymore because, you know... We're too busy watching movies and stuff. So, it looks like there's going to be an Upgrade TV series. You want to talk about that a little more?
Yeah, there's going to be an Upgrade TV series.
Okay, well, there you go. Talk.
That's the only thing that I really bothered to read about it because it just made me excited just to hear that.
What service is it on?
I didn't even pay attention to that.
Nope,
I'm
going to
say.
About it now.
I'm going to say FX. Or Hulu.
Don't just speculate.
That's
not this podcast.
If you haven't seen... we can't do that either. All right, fine. If you haven't seen Upgrade, what it's about is it's Logan Marshall Green, who is, I guess, most known for turning in or getting torched in Prometheus and taking his helmet off like an idiot.
He looks like the budget. Isn't that the guy from Spider-Man 2, the first Spider-Man movie, Spider-Man Homecoming, who plays Shocker for a little bit and then dies?
I think so. Okay. It's been too long since I've seen that one. I've only seen it once.
Fair enough.
But it's he looks like the poor man's Tom Hardy, kind of.
Yep.
That's kind of the way that I describe him. So he gets this thing called STEM. Put into his spinal cord after he becomes a quadriplegic from an attack, and the AI that is implanted in the thing helps him to, like, you know, fight back against the people that hurt him, and he, like, it knows, like, you know, it's like the Matrix. It knows Kung Fu. It, like, knows everything. And so it's, like, really fun to, like, watch this guy that doesn't actually know how to do any of the stuff that his body's able to do now because of this AI. Anyways, so the TV series... yes, will be coming out.
I didn't even see a channel it was on, but maybe they're keeping it secret, but...
Wannell? I don't know what Wannell is.
Neither do I. Does it still have the main guy in it?
I doubt it, but maybe.
But yeah, it could be interesting. Like, there's a lot that world could build off into. I think that could be really interesting, right? Like, see where it goes.
Yeah, totally, because, like, I feel like the part, to me, that wasn't explored as much as I would have liked, that I'd love to see a series explore more, is just, like, the body enhancements that all these guys undergo. Because, like, they undergo, like, these pretty grotesque surgeries to, like, have guns implanted in their arms, and, like, you know, some more advanced ones that aren't as grotesque, but, like, to, like, kind of go between, back and forth between, like, you know, kind of, like, the black market versions, where it's, like, you know, their arm is, like, half blown off at this point because it's like replaced
like
with other stuff.
Or like has legal stuff in it that you can't normally get. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I feel like that side of the world would be more interesting than like the AI side. I don't, like, it's not that part isn't cool, but I feel like it's explored pretty thoroughly.
In the genre, yeah.
Yeah, so I would be okay, but I feel like it'd be cooler to go in that other direction.
Yeah, I mean, like, the best part about cyberpunk is like the exodus from humanity kind of thing. Where you're, like, slowly turning yourself into a robot or a cyborg, I think. And, like, I mean, maybe it's explored, but it hasn't been explored lately. So an Upgrade is, like, a total avenue for that, right? Like, it doesn't have to be about the AI. I think it could be a lot about, like, people who get upgrades and the factions involved and how they work and how they're regulated and blah, blah, blah. It's a really cool avenue to just explore one outlet for, like, a season or two and maybe move into something else later.
Yeah, totally. I think that'd be really fun for them to... pursue it in that way, but we'll see. I mean, it would be really cool if it's, I mean, part of the appeal of that movie was the cinematography for, like, the fight scenes was really cool. You can kind of see some of that playing over because the director for Upgrade also did The Invisible Man. And in a couple of the action sequences from that, you can kind of see some of that trend over into that. It'd be cool if that carried over into the TV series, but it's not necessary, I think, to make it great.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, a lot of what makes What We Do in the Shadows good is carrying over into the TV show, which we'll talk about in a little bit, so it's definitely possible. But another trailer that we saw is for a movie or a short film, I guess. I don't remember if these are movies or not.
I call them movies, but I guess they're not technically, I don't know what they are.
The Hulu's Into the Dark series, there's one coming out called Good Boy. Not to be confused with the movie Good Boys, which I confused it with and was very confused why it was on this list. But it actually is really cool. It's about your pets and the things that happen to them when you're going through stressful and intense scenarios in your life. And potentially, you know, what they'll do to help you out.
Yeah. In violent ways. That's yeah. It's it does seem like really interesting. I think it is the most unique concept that they've had yet.
I agree. It's the one that I want to see.
Yes, yeah, I agree. Like, I think the first one that I did want to see, to be honest, I really did want to see Puka when I first saw the trailer for that. I was like, "What is this? This looks crazy." And then I watched it, and I was like, I really wanted that to be better than it was. It wasn't bad, it just wasn't great. So this one I feel like has the most potential to like not seem like it's part of the Into the Dark series, where almost all of the reviews I've heard and experienced myself watching those is kind of like, it wasn't bad. Like, that's almost everybody's reaction to every single one of them. And it just kind of, I'm waiting for that one that's just like, you know, like of any anthology series that just blows you away. You're like, oh, yeah, that was the best one.
I think the only one that I watched was the board game one that they did. I don't even know if that was actually an Into the Dark one, but, like, the Anna play with Anna or whatever, like, the one where they did, like, the Halloween, they were playing the board game on Halloween, and there's like, it's like a haunted board game. Remember that one?
I didn't see that one.
Anyway, let's move on to some TV shows we're really digging right now. So, maybe not digging, but you've watched the first episode of Blood Machines, which is a thing we talked about before on the podcast that I didn't realize wasn't a movie.
Yeah, it's like a mini-series, sort of. It's kind of weird because I've seen people describe it as a mini-series or a show, and I've heard other people describe it as a movie. And I feel like it's one of those things where you could watch them all back-to-back-to-back, but it does technically have credits in between.
How long is each episode?
Like 20 minutes-ish.
And there's how many episodes, you think?
I think 4 or 5.
Okay, yeah.
I think. Like, it's not very long, but it's about as long as a movie if you put it all together.
Yeah, okay.
And it's got this, like, I really like the aesthetic of it. It's, to me, it feels like something you've never seen before. It almost has this, like, what was that show? Heavy Metal?
Yeah.
Kind of feel to it. In a good way. and not a pervy way, if that makes sense. But it's got this, like, the ships are, like, it seem like they're, like, kind of, like, half living and half mechanical. It's got a little bit of that steampunk feel to it. It just feels like there's just so much detail put into, like, the setting and the ships and the weapons and all of that stuff. It's that, all of that part is great. The characters, at least in the first episode, the characters, the story, the writing, the acting is terrible. It's really bad, in my opinion. But it's very easy to get over it because you get into the camp feel of it. And, like, it didn't bother me. I just noticed it. It was bad. And so it was kind of fun to, like, see this, like, juxtaposed, like, really amazing, like, take on these, like, almost miniature-esque ships. They seem like miniatures and super detailed, but CG. But then, like, they're also terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I think, based off of what the trailer was, I feel like that's kind of what it was, the gist of it was. But sounds like it could be really cool still, you know?
Yeah, it's got some pretty cheesy acting in it, and, like, the one-liners, I suppose you could call them, quote-unquote, is, they're lame.
But, I mean, as we'll see later, like, I'm kind of digging that right now, so maybe it's right. Where do we watch that?
Shudder. Okay, that is on Shudder.
Cool.
Yep.
All right, well, definitely something to check out if you're into that kind of, like, style. And it looks like neon horror, too, which looks kind of cool, right? Like, it's that whole
yes,
kind of, like,
super
colors, and so it's a thing. Yeah. It's a thing people enjoy. I'm excited to watch it, honestly. I just kind of forgot it was out. And now that you reminded me, I'm gonna go back and watch. Or maybe I'll wait till it's all out and see it, but we'll see.
I think it is all out, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
Maybe it does cut off halfway, but
so
I don't know.
We've talked about this next show a few times, and it's on Quibi, which I still haven't gotten yet because I'm a subscription phobe, kind of. But I should just buck it up and get it. But it's called 50 States of Fright. Isn't that is it done with Robert Englund? Is he the host of that?
It's Sam Raimi, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Actually, that and he doesn't host it. I think he directed a couple of them and then produces it. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
And I think it's a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed it. They've got 14 episodes out, and if you know anything about Quibi, they're kind of like minisodes. So like the longest thing I think I've seen on there is like 15 minutes, maybe. I'm pretty sure there might be some that are longer there, but the horror stuff I've seen is like 15 minutes or shorter. Most of them I think are like 8 or 9 minutes, and they're basically the 50 States of Fright. It's covering like a urban legend or something from each state. And then like each one of these minisodes, there's like two or three of them are devoted to like each state, and then like tells a story in like two or three minisodes.
You're talking about it, and I just kind of want to go watch it like right now because it seems
they're
like it's
so,
so
much
cool.
Fun.
Yeah,
I love them so much. I think they're great. Like, I really don't. There's really not one where I was like, "That's kind of dumb." Like, I didn't like that at all. I think even the ones that the story isn't that interesting, it's still done so well. Like, it's produced really well, and there's some that are goofy and stupid. Other ones that are like super legit scary. Other ones that are kind of, you know, I don't know, silly. Goofy. I don't know. They're really fun.
Yeah, and it's
like one of them's
it's...
got like a.
Go ahead.
One of them's got like this guy that he's a.
Don't spoil it. I want to watch him.
Okay.
Well, I was fine. Just gonna say it sounds right up our alley, especially like since our generation of demons and half dead people prefer things quick, and I'm not a huge fan of long style documentaries. So anytime I can consume something pretty quick and learn something, I'm like all for it. Right, like. Short form information gathering. It's a problem apparently, but I love it.
Yeah, you'll love it even more. It's got a pretty hefty amount of practical effects use, which
cool.
I liked a lot. Yeah.
All right, so I moved the list around a little bit because I think the second to last show or the last show we're going to talk about is going to be interesting. But I've been watching. I've bought What We Do in the Shadows, season 2. I absolutely love this show. If you haven't been watching this, just go buy it all on Amazon. Support the show, go get it. It's so good. If you like the movie, it's one of the best like TV shows that is horror related out there. It's hilarious. It's got some violence in it. The way they integrate mythos in it is awesome. There was an episode with the troll the other day, and I'm not gonna spoil it, but it was so fantastic. If you're not watching What We Do in the Shadows, start.
Okay. I've only seen the movie. I still haven't even seen the first season of it, and I love the movie.
And yeah, if you love the movie, especially since the people they bring into the show are like just people that Tiki Waititi, or is that his name? Tiki
Waititi?
Waititi, sorry.
Taika Waititi.
Taika Waititi and Jermaine Clement are like friends with in real life, so you see people from all over Hollywood in that show. And it's really funny. So, yeah, if you're not checking it out, definitely do that. And it's not super expensive for the season. It's like $20, and you get it like the day after it comes out if it's active, and otherwise you get it right away, right? So it's pretty nice if you're into that whole, like, not having TV but still wanting to watch a show thing. I really like that Amazon does that.
Yeah, that is a cool way to do it. I like that.
All right, finally, let's for shows today. We'll probably not spend too much time on this, but...
You're on your own, because I don't know this.
What?
You're on your own because I don't know this.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I thought you had written this, and I was like, oh, you finished it. Let's talk about it. But I finished Twilight Zone a while ago because I got access to CBS All Access again, and I liked the last episode a lot. I don't really care about the rest of the show. Well, sorry, that's not true. There was like maybe half the episodes are super good. The other half are what Twilight Zone is, but now modernized. So it's like, you know, commentary on society, which all horror is, but I feel like the Twilight Zone is super on the nose. They don't really, like, hide it behind anything, right? It's, there's a African American or black, I guess it's a black individual that's like trying to get to their college, but they keep running through time, like they keep get stuck in a time loop and they have to get through it, but everybody's racist. And it's like, there's one where, and not everybody's racist, but the things that keep happening to them are things that happen in society right now, right? There's like a cop stalking them and stuff like this. There's an episode about like meteors that crash land, and you're like, this is gonna be cool, but really all it does is it turns all the men into like rage virus people. And so like it's just like women versus men. And, like, I get it all. Like, I'm not saying this stuff isn't helpful, but, like, I don't know that it's something that I personally enjoy when I watch horror, to be that on the nose about. But, like, the first two episodes, and there's ones throughout that are kind of interesting, and the very last one, I think were super cool, and that alone has me excited to watch the second season. So, I mean, take it at your will. It's Jordan Peele, so it's good. It's, like, not bad. Not, like, badly written. It's just a little bit too on the nose for me personally, but a lot when the episodes are good, they're good.
Yeah, that's it's one of those kind of like hit or miss anthologies for me, I guess. I mean, I haven't seen these newer ones, but just from the feel that I get from them, I mean it's like old school Twilight Zone, where it's more about the weirdness. It's more about weirdness than it is about it being something terrifying.
Well, I don't know about the old, so I don't even know if it's weirdness. I just don't know the old Twilight Zone well enough to know if this is what they're supposed to be like or if this is Jordan Peele's version, you know?
Yeah, and unfortunately I haven't seen the new ones to be able to tell you that, to confirm that for you, but I get that that feeling that it's like those old ones that are just, it's more about this, like, atmospheric, like, this something isn't right all, for, you know, half an hour, and then there's some big twist at the end. But
all right, let's move on to some movies that we saw. You watched a movie called Blood Quantum, which sounds really cool, but it sounds like it wasn't really cool.
So when that movie first came, or was first like marketing started for it, they released this little clip that's like the opening clip of the movie, and the opening clip is awesome. Like, it was a great way to like introduce that, like, oh no, something's wrong with nature, like there's a zombie thing happening, because this guy's like fishing. And he brings a bunch of fish up, you know, he's like a fisherman on the shore, and like he cuts up, he's like cutting up these fish, he's like taking, you know, their guts out and everything, cleaning them and everything, and then like the ones that have already been cleaned and their guts have been taken out, they like start flopping around, and then like all the fish, you know, one's flopping around, then all of them are flopping around, and it's like really cool, the way they filmed it was really cool, it's a good shot. The whole rest of the movie is not terribly unique. It has these like character studies and these it tackles race from a Native American standpoint in a very powerful way. I don't want to take that away from the film, but it uses zombies as the vehicle and the zombie apocalypse as the setting, and I'm just wondering at what point this is going to get old to everybody else.
I don't want to, I'm going to come off incredibly racist right here, but like I feel like Native American lore is so rich already with stuff. Why would you choose the zombie apocalypse?
That's a really good point, because I feel like that's a valid point, and I don't really see that as,
I feel like you're like putting baby in a corner, if you will. Like, why can't they participate in other genres of the end of the world? And I'm like, well, because theirs are already cooler than what we think about. Like, that's my comment, but yeah, it's an interesting take. I mean,
oh, it's definitely not them specifically. I don't mean that. I mean, like, in general. Like, it's completely disconnected. It's a top overview, and I've been feeling this way for a while. Like, did we need a Zombieland 2? Like, do we? I'm just wondering
that,
at what
by
point.
The way, and I liked it better than I thought, but I didn't really think it was necessary.
Yeah, and I just feel like the zombie apocalypse arena, especially in the vein of like, I just don't feel like they've taken new avenues in that, in the regard of like how the zombie apocalypse happens, what's happening after the zombie apocalypse. It's like we get social social
distancing.
Just destruction.
Yeah, sure.
Not distancing, but like there's just, you know, society collapses. We get that. Okay. Well, are there any new avenues to take? No? Okay. So we're just going to be dealing with your characters, which are interesting, but you're in a setting that is so familiar at this point that there's like, can we take a different route?
That's fair.
If that makes sense. Like, and
no,
it's not,
yeah.
it's not Blood Quantum in particular. There's dozens of these, and I feel like there's at least half dozen of these like post-apocalyptic zombie movies that come out every year.
I always thought that Z Nation in Black Summer did it really well. Like, I thought that what they did was like unique, and it kind of took something that was already like stale at the time, I think, and made it into something that was new and interesting again. So that was almost years ago now, and now we're still seeing zombie apocalypse movies. So it's like, when, what do we do next, I guess, is my question.
Yeah, and it, I'm not, like, you know, I'm not saying that, like, don't make it. Like, if you think of a good idea or something and it's stuck in a zombie apocalypse movie, I will probably still watch it. It's not that. And, you know, I mean, that's, and it's like saying, well, how many, you know, but I am one of those people that, like, with slasher movies even, like, if you don't put an interesting, unique twist on the slasher for me, then I'm probably not going to be interested. Yeah, and it crosses into, like, every subgenre of horror for me. And which is probably why I like a lot of monster movies so much, is because they, when they're done well, it's usually a very unique take, because it's a different monster.
And even if they're not done well sometimes, it's just interesting to see what they tried, because it's something that's at least not, I mean, even if it is a mix of like three different monsters you've already seen. But, alright, speaking of bad CG monsters, which I was basically alluding to just now with, you know, is that I watched a movie called Man Versus, not really knowing what to expect from it, because it sounded like it was, it's like basically Bear Grylls meets, like, Creature in the Woods type of thing. And
or Predator is the way I'd think of it.
Did you watch it?
I saw it a long time ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was very sci-fi. Like, I don't mean, like, sci-fi in the sense of, like, the genre, even though it kind of is. I thought it was just more sci-fi as in, like, a sci-fi movie that would have been made. And maybe it was
like a sci-fi original.
But, like, I still enjoyed the twist at the end.
I don't even remember the twist, no.
Should I spoil it right now?
It's fine. I think this movie's been out for at least 6 years or so.
So, basically, he goes out into the wilderness, and he's doing the whole Bear Grylls thing, right? Which is, I thought was a cool premise, regardless how shitty the CG was, pardon my French. And it wasn't that bad. It just wasn't, like, it wasn't that good, you know? Like, they could have used practical effects in parts where they just got lazy or something. They didn't lazy. Anyway, I'm not a filmmaker, but the end of it, like, you go through this whole thing, he finds his, like, crew, kind of, but not really, because they're not really leaving him out there. They're kind of just at a different location. So he ends up trying to find them, going back and forth between, like, trying to survive out there for as long as he can versus getting to the extraction point, figures out that, like, his crew is no longer around, and, like, that's its own thing. And then he gets to this house of this guy you saw in the very beginning who's, like, a guide. And the guide is, like, you know, they get into a conflict and blah, blah, blah. And then he ends up, the movie ends up resolving, right? And he's there at this guy's house. And he turns on the TV at this guy's house, and it turns out that, like, the whole world has been affected by whatever was affecting him in the forest. And I was like, oh, snap. Like, it wasn't just him experiencing a creature thing in the forest. It was... it was like the whole world, and he was just like, you just only saw this one portal into the world, right? Which I thought was a pretty cool take, to be honest, on the whole genre of, like, things happening. And I don't go to spoil it too much, because I think it's actually fun to watch, but I thought it was a lot better than I thought it was going to be, despite the bad CG. I don't think it's anything to, like, win an award, and it's not going to make my top 10, but it was just fun, and I liked it. I enjoyed myself while I was watching it, and I didn't feel bad that I was, like, missing things or, like, might have been on my phone for some of it and stuff like that, and that made me feel good to watch a horror movie again like that.
It is that kind of movie that you would do that with it, I feel like, mm-hmm. that you would, you can have it on, like, have it on while you're doing something else maybe a little bit, and you can still get most the gist of it and enjoy it.
And I rewinded it at times, too, to, like, kind of get I was like, oh, okay, cool, I got it.
But yeah, the CG is difficult to get past for me.
And I figured that would be a case for you because, like, it was something that was pretty gratuitous in my opinion. I just thought that the story was cool. Like, the whole, like, positioning of the story and what he was doing out there and the wilderness horror kind of gets me too. I like that stuff, so. It always makes me think of Wendigos, you know?
For sure. Still can't wait to see Antlers.
Yeah.
Dang it.
So speaking of movies you didn't like, let's talk about Darklight a little bit.
Oh, man. Darklight is this movie that you can see on Netflix right now. I don't recommend it at all.
so it's a movie you don't want to see on Netflix right now.
No. It's about this woman that she gets arrested, sort of, for shooting her husband, and then like almost shooting her, or then like her daughter goes missing or something, and they like blame her for it, but then she's also not arrested. I don't know. They don't have enough evidence to arrest her, I guess. It doesn't make any sense at all, because of everything that happens. But anyway, so the house is supposedly haunted, but it's like attacked by aliens at night, and the aliens have these giant cyclops eyeballs in the middle of their heads that
As you
shine
do.
like spotlights. Yeah, they shine like spotlights. So super easy to get away with, like, actually showing the alien, because you just have a bunch of people walking through cornfields holding flashlights above their heads, and it's like, oh no, there's aliens in the cornfield, because it's dumb. I don't know why it bothered me so much, but like the directing is bland, the cinematography is bland, the music is terrible. Like, it's one of those movies where like it's almost constantly playing dramatic music. And it's just like they clearly didn't actually get this thing like scored. It's actually like, they just somebody went to like, motionarray.com and downloaded as many like dramatic audio clips as they could, and they just put them on top of the movie throughout the entire movie, and you're like, this is garbage. It just feels like the whoever it's like somebody ran out of budget halfway through the movie and then continued to try to like finish it. They're like, we have to do something in post-production because we need to get this movie out. And I don't know. And then like you see the alien thing towards the end. It's like a some dude in a suit, and it looks, ooh, this is the best way that I knew how to describe it, is that it looks like somebody went and took the suit, one of the suits from Feast, and then just cut a giant hole in the head and stuck a light bulb in it. That's what it looks like.
That's
So you're not missing anything. I
what I
just
saw
described
in
to
the
you exactly what it
picture
looks like.
that I just saw.
Yeah.
I was like, this could look cool, but based off of what you're saying, it doesn't sound like it did.
I don't know. I was not a fan. It spends like way too much of the movie just like, is she crazy or is she not? And I'm like, I don't care anymore. I don't care if she's
Like,
crazy. I
just tell
don't
me.
care. Yeah. So let's get this over with.
All right, well,
It is bad.
speaking of crazy and thinking people are crazy, my segues are like on fleek today. The Wretched, we both watched The Wretched a few weeks ago, and I kind
Yes.
of want to get. I've already done a bunch of this. This was my favorite movie of last year, so let's. I don't know if. And if we already talked about it, sorry, we're talking about it again. Why don't you give us a little insight, little sickle boy?
Well, just because you happened to mention it, I would still say that Daniel Isn't Real was my favorite movie from last year.
Well, I don't expect that to
Even
change
despite.
based off of you watching The Wretched. I don't think The Wretched could
Yeah.
even. I don't think The Wretched. I was actually. I'd be impressed if The Wretched was in your top 10.
Yeah, I don't know if it would be or not. I'd have to go back and look. But I did enjoy it a lot, though. And I think the most impressive part of movies like this is that it's when you take a classic, universal monster, classic horror movie monster, and then you twist it and you just do something a little bit different with it, take it in a new direction. That's my favorite thing. I don't like the traditional over and over again. So in this case, we're dealing with a witch, and I don't need to see her trying to make, cook newts in a giant crock pot to try to curse some kid down the street. I don't care about that. I don't want to see it. And this is more like a feral monster witch that's like, enacting like crazy rituals to like live forever and, do crazy stuff. At this point, it's more of a creature and a force than it is like a human being that's turned, it's
Yeah.
like it's that deep into the process of doing this over and over again.
Yeah,
And
it's like
I
Illness
love
was
that
maybe
route.
never even human at some point. It's just an entity, right? We don't
Yeah.
even know.
Yeah, because at one point it's almost like Wendigo-esque, like
Yeah.
or like in some of the ways that they describe it, and then in other areas it's almost like a golem where it's like it's brought to life from the elements of the forest or something. I really liked that route. It was a really cool idea, but you're still dealing with this like witch succubus thing at the core. Like you, it's a familiar thing in that sense, but the whole rest of the movie around it is different. At least the way that they describe the creature. I've seen a lot of people critique and bash this movie for, being too bland in the sense and formulaic in the sense that it's like Rear Window, or Suburbia for those that are younger, if that helps.
Is it Disturbia or is it Suburbia?
Or Disturbia,
Okay.
Disturbia. You're right. I'm sorry. And it's it's Yeah, I get that. I get that feel of it a little bit, but it moves fast enough for me at least that I wasn't hung up on it. And you're so interested in it because it's not like, oh, I think my neighbor's murdering people. It's like, no, there's this like feral monster witch that's like, eating babies. Like, that's way more creepy than just like some, I think my neighbor's chopping up somebody in the backyard. Like,
Yeah,
it's way more intense to me.
it's like, to be honest, that really hasn't been overdone. I mean, I can't remember another
No.
movie besides the three you just mentioned that does that. Maybe there's more, but like, if I can't remember them, then I'm not gonna hold it against the movie.
Yeah, I feel like there are a couple of like, kind of more like kids slash family friendly scary movies of like the mid-90s. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but maybe like some of those like straight to video Ghostbumps movies probably did some similar stuff to that where
You
they're
just
like, I
call
think our neighbors are monsters.
Goosebumps.
I did. Goosebumps
I'm
is
just
what I meant
kidding.
to say.
Well, I mean, look, it's like Fright Night. Like, again, that whole thing where
Yeah.
you're like nobody believes the kid until it's like the end. It's like that. It reminds me of Fright Night. Fright Night's like one of my favorites. Like, even the new, I like the new Fright Night a lot because like I have like attachment to it. But Fright Night is like kind of similar. I really like those kinds of movies because they're still like they still have the capacity to like entertain adults with horror, but they're also relatable to like teenagers and stuff.
Yeah.
Which is kind of an interesting place to be in. Yeah.
I agree. I
And so
agree.
I thought the twist in The Wretched was pretty cool too, because I didn't see it coming. Like, I was like, what? Oh, crap. Like, and then you go back and look through a movie and you're like, holy shnikes. Like, I didn't even catch that stuff. But I bet you
Yeah,
don't
it
remember the
was
twist
cool.
either. Oh, okay, you do.
No, I
Okay.
do. Yeah, I do.
And I was like,
Yeah,
oh my
and that
gosh, I
part
didn't
was
even
awesome.
think about that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was I thought it was a good twist too, and it is one of those twists where it's not like it doesn't retell it. Well, I mean, I guess I feel like in a lot of twists, it either retells the protagonist or it retells the antagonist. And this twist doesn't necessarily do that. It's something in between, and so it doesn't quite feel like this ultimate twist because when we say that vaguely, it sounds like we're talking about like, oh, the witch wasn't actually a witch. It's not. It's a different kind of twist. So it depends on how it impacts you. But I did think it was a really nice touch on the story. For sure.
All right, well, that's all the time we have for today. We have some more reasons to talk about next time, but we'll do that next time. And
Yeah.
thanks for listening, and we appreciate you tuning in, and let us know what you think of the movies and shows we talked about today. And we'll see you next
Yeah,
time.
tell us how wrong we were about things.
Don't do that.
Bye.